Offensive line's not very good either. So welcome in Jake Trotter of ESPN. What's up, Jake?
What's going on, guys? Good to be on with you again.
Yes, so I got to check first. Will you be in Lubbock this week for what I think is kind of flying under the radar as one of the games of the weekend as West Virginia goes to Lubbock? Or, which, by the way, Spavital matchup, OC versus DC brothers.
Spav Bowl.
Spav Bowl. Or are you going to be in Norman for Oklahoma-Baylor? Will I see you on Saturday, Jake?
So Sam Kahn from ESPN is going to be in Lubbock, and I will be in Norman, Oklahoma, in advance of the Red River Showdown, which actually might count for something for the first time like this decade.
It would be a very Texas thing to do to go to lose at Kansas State, and I say that knowing that Kansas State is hot garbage.
They're bad, Mark. I mean, I was in Morgantown, and it just felt pretty hopeless offensively for them. They're not that great defensively either. They're not special in special teams, which they've been in the past, to kind of mitigate some of their issues. Scoring points. I mean, they look like, to me, the ninth best team in the Big 12.
Yeah, they're not playing very good football right now.
But Texas is 1-7. Texas is 1-7 all time in Manhattan. And the one win they did have was like a last second field goal. I think it was 2001 or so, somewhere in that range. So they have struggled up there. But you know, you're talking about Oklahoma State, you know, playing the wrong quarterback. I think Kansas State's playing the wrong quarterback as well. They are so mediocre at wide receiver. Their offensive line hasn't been very good. And I think they just need to load up with Dalton and try to run the ball 50 times a game and hope to control the clock in the vein of what Army did to the Sooners. So they, unless they change quarterbacks, and I think you could say the same thing about Oklahoma State, I think they're a little bit limited in just how far they can go.
Do you think we see a change this week? Do we see a Drew Brown? Do we see a Spencer Sanders as the Cowboys take on Kansas?
It doesn't sound like it, does it, guys?
Nope.
I mean, if you listen to Mike Gundy today?
Nope.
I think this is the wrong move. I mean, even though if those guys don't know the offense well enough yet to put out there, then you simplify the offense around them because surely those guys are good enough to, make simple passes that they couldn't make the other night.
Well, I mean, they have no deep game right now. And they've got a couple of wide receivers that sort of tailor-made to run down the field and go up and catch the ball. And they got a quarterback that can't throw the deep ball, like, at all. So they are very limited offensively right now. I think the fact that they can't stretch the field is one reason why the running game is sort of been stagnant here, or definitely was Saturday night. And I'm with you guys. I mean, like, maybe these other guys aren't any good at all or aren't ready in the case of Spencer Sanders, but go find out. I mean, Texas Tech is playing a freshman quarterback right now who is lighting people up. Hey. And, you know, he wasn't nearly as highly touted as Spencer Sanders was. I just think they've got to try something because they feel very stale right now offensively, and it doesn't feel like unless they make a change at quarterback, they're just not going to be able to turn the corner. Feels like a 7-5 team to me unless they shake things up offensively.
Hey, I want to throw one thing.
They fell off in 1 week.
Right? I mean, we were talking about this team's going to be
Out by Texas Tech. You get blown out by Texas Tech at home, there's time to ring the alarm bells.
I agree. So question I have, though, is or not question, just a comment on what you said. So when I do that game against Ole Miss week one, right, their mentality was we're going to be a running team, play defense at Texas Tech. And I think as much as anything, they didn't trust any of their quarterbacks. And they thought that with McLean Carter that they would have to run the ball because they didn't want to put it up very much. I even asked them about Bowman before, and I don't think they had any idea what they had on their hands there, Jake. So I think that injury,
I don't know if I agree with that because I think they really gave consideration to starting Bowman before the season started. So I mean, I think that they felt like he had a chance to be a really good player. And you're talking about the Ole Miss game. I mean, they gave up the kickoff return. Jason Johnson, can't play. He's maybe their best defensive player, definitely their best DB. I think there are a lot of things going on there, playing the wrong quarterback. But I don't think Bowman has surprised them that way. I think they thought he was pretty good. And they considered starting him, I think, for the Ole Miss game. It just felt like, well, you know, true freshman going up against an SEC team, you know, let's go with a guy who's been here for a while.
Well, I can just tell you that I spoke with those coaches and off the record, they didn't think this kid was going to come in and go 72%, 10 touchdowns, and to two interceptions. I mean, this kid's lit the world on fire, and all I was saying,
I agree with
my point is this. My point is this. My point is that sometimes you don't know what you have until you put someone in game situation. So while they may have felt good about Alan Bowman, they had no idea what they had until he was actually put in there in harm's way. And that is kind of my point, and I think what y'all are trying to say about potentially Spencer Sanders or even Drew Brown in this league, in this offense, at some point you may just want to find out what you have, and you're not going to fully know until it's game time situation.
Well, it's the perfect week to try somebody else.
Yeah.
So it would be stubborn. It would be stubborn and ridiculous if Mike Gundy doesn't put another quarterback in this week for at least something.
Remember 4 years ago, you know, they had Dax Garmon. I can't even remember who else was playing quarterback that year. I guess it was Walsum. But they kept saying, well, you kept asking, like, you know, Mason Rudolph, highly touted. You hear a lot of good things about him. Like, why are they not playing him? Why are they're trying to redshirt him? And then finally, they had no quarterbacks left. And Mason Rudolph, a guy they said, you know, wasn't ready, basically, comes in and beats Oklahoma in Norman. And then, you know, goes to a bowl game and beats Arizona. So, I think you've got to give one of these guys a chance. And it kind of makes me think that maybe Spencer Sanders is more so the answer now there, because I feel like if Drew Brown were close, that he would have played already, right?
What did you think of Jalen McCleskey transferring?
Well, it kind of goes into, you know, they're not completing a lot of passes. You know, he averaged 5.5 receptions per game 2 years ago. That's down to, you know, 3.5 or whatever. You know, he's third or fourth on the team in receiving. They're not completing as many passes as they usually do. And I think this is a trend you're going to see. We saw with Auburn. Auburn had a couple of players do the same thing. You know, the guy, you know, seniors are going to, you know, play 4 games, see how it goes. If they're not happy, then they're going to redshirt and grad transfer and go, you know, anywhere they want. I don't think McCleskey's certainly going to be the last guy that takes advantage of this. But as it relates to Oklahoma State, I mean, it's a big loss. This is a guy that, you know, had 70-something receptions in 2016. And, you know, I think they have, you know, I think in terms of the pecking order, I would say he's probably fourth right now behind Tyron Johnson and even Dylan Stoner. But, I mean, this is a guy that's played a lot of football. He's 15 catches, 2 touchdowns this year. And, you know, this is a guy that they would have had next season somebody else is going to have him, I should say, next season. And this is a guy that could help them the rest of the year. So it is not ideal. It's not been a great couple of days for Oklahoma State. And I do think that this is kind of the first of a trend that is going to expand in college football.
I don't think that this is about targets, though. I'm sorry. He's second on the team in receptions. I mean, to me, there's got to be something a little bit more there that maybe we don't know about. I don't know if it's, you know, in the locker room with a coach, but I don't know. It just seems like this might be more than just touches.
I sent a couple texts, and I haven't heard anything more than beyond, I want the ball more. You know, I want to try to make it to the NFL, and I don't feel like this situation is best for me. Now, I don't think there was, like, maybe I'm wrong, and maybe I'll find differently, but just so far, it doesn't sound like, you know, there was some kind of crazy argument or something behind the scenes or some blow up or, you know, I don't think they want him to leave by any means. And, you know, this is a guy that's been a good player for them. So it's a you know, and he was hurt, you know, a little bit last year. I think he had kind of a disappointing season last season. So maybe this is kind of a carryover from that. But I mean, it's not ideal to lose good players in the middle of the season. And Jalen McCleskey is definitely a good player.
Yeah, no, he definitely is. Texas went over TCU. I mean, I don't know. Let me just ask this. If you were going to rank the top five in the Big 12, what's it look like today?
I'm going to rank the Big 12?
Yeah, top five.
I go Oklahoma, West Virginia, Texas Tech, and then probably TCU or Oklahoma State. I mean,
you think TCU is lower than Tech?
I mean, yeah. I think as of today, yeah.
Okay. If those two teams play tomorrow, you're going to take Texas Tech.
If they play, are you asking me like what the power ranking is, or like who do I think wins on neutral side? Because that's a little bit different.
Well, just because Tech won and TCU lost doesn't mean you have to put one ahead of the other.
Yeah, no, I stick with the power ranking I gave you. TCU has imploded here twice. I mean, I think they have a lot of talent in speed, but I mean, this is two straight games where they've given the game away by shooting themselves in the foot. So I'm not confident that all of a sudden that's going to change. And they've got a really difficult game, I think, against Iowa State, an Iowa State team that desperately needs a win, you know, if they're going to get back to bowl eligibility. So it's a really interesting week in the league, you know, with that game as well. So, yeah, I mean, I think Texas Tech, if you take the opener out, they have been super impressive. I mean, they beat a pretty good Houston team with Ed Oliver. I mean, they scored 63 points on Ed Oliver. You know, they beat down – I mean, they beat down Oklahoma State in Stillwater. You know, that doesn't happen very often as well. So they have been – really impressive, and they've kind of found their group. And I think they're going to give West.
What I can't figure out is if their defense is legit. Like, I've watched that entire tape against Oklahoma State, and they whooped them. But you mentioned Houston. They came into Lubbock last week and hung a 49 on them. I mean, their quarterback threw for 431 and 5 touchdowns. So I hear what you're saying. That was probably the most impressive win we've seen in the Big 12 so far, what Texas Tech just did. In Stillwater, yep. But I watched an Ole Miss team do whatever they wanted offensively, and clearly Houston did whatever they wanted offensively. They ran for a 170 through for 462. So I'm not ready to say that I think Texas Tech is this dominant force defensively because they had a good afternoon.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, I think they're okay defensively. I mean, I think they're okay. You know, and I think what happened Saturday had as much to do with where Oklahoma State is offensively as it does, you know, where Tech is on defense. I mean, I think that...
Yeah, that's the key.
Tech is okay defensively. They've got a really exciting freshman quarterback. You know, Kingsbury does a really good job at that position. And, you know, they're a hot team right now. Sometimes you catch fire, and I think they have a lot of confidence. I'm picking West Virginia to win. You know, that line opened at 7. I think it's down to 4.5. If it stays there, I would predict West Virginia to cover. But, I mean, Lubbock is not an easy place to play, and that team is playing with a lot of confidence, and I think they deserve to be in the top four in the Big 12 pecking order right now.
Very good offensive line too, by the way. Very good offensive line.
Yeah, they're good. There's not like one spot where you look at Tech and you're like, oh my gosh, they're just horrible at that position. They are solid across the board, and when you don't have a ton of weaknesses, then you end up being a pretty good team. And again, I think Johnson not playing in the opener really hurt them because they fell apart early and never really, you know, bounced back. And, you know, when you have a senior leader back there, it helps. And I'm not saying if they play Ole Miss today that they would win, but I do think that they are a different team today than they were when that game was played in Houston.
By the Mark, what were you asking? You had a good week on your pitch.
Jake on his pick. I was going to bid him fondly adieu and congratulate
Dusty,
him on his
Dusty,
picks.
Thank you, Dusty. You and I had North Texas. I think the ultimate went with Liberty, so it was a tough weekend all the way around for Jim there. And, you know, Alabama, I mean, almost 5-0, and A&M backdoor covers there to ruin the perfect weekend. I was like, you know, you know, Texas Tech back against the wall, desperate, and I came through with a good weekend. So
The ultimate also trashed the nation's upset darling, called them the worst team in college football.
Old Dominion.
Old Dominion?
Before or after the second? Oh my goodness. 2 o'clock is going to be must listen radio. Are you hopping
Liberty,
on
it, Liberty beat Old Dominion 52-10 in week one.
Isn't that amazing?
Let that sink in. Let that sink.
That is, and then North Texas beat Liberty by about 40, I think.
By 40? Yeah, so vis-a-vis, that means that North Texas should beat Virginia Tech by somewhere in the neighborhood of 60 points.
I'm not sure you're going
to talk about we didn't get to talk about Army, Oklahoma. How about, I mean, just...
We'll save it for Wednesday. There's a lot to talk about there. Yeah, you won't hear me probably, but I will be on from 2 to 3 today.
Okay, very good. I'm excited to... good luck.
Thanks, Jake.